Love has been poured into our hearts. Well, we've done it. We made it to the end of another program year here at the Cathedral. This is the end of our second year together doing program at the Cathedral. And I've got to say, it has been a treat. It has been exhausting. I'm not going to lie about that. It's been an exhausting second year. And we have done good work together. We've accomplished a lot. We have tended to some long-deferred needs here at the Cathedral. And in honor of that, here, very shortly after my homily, I suspect, because I see one of our grill masters here present, they will be barbecuing. And so the smell of burning things will start to fill the place as an entree to the great celebration of the end of the program year. It is not always the case that we get to honor and celebrate the Trinity on this particular occasion at the end of the program year, but all the better when those providential lines make sense for us. The constellation is in order. We have heard about the Father. We've heard about the Son. We've received the gift of the Spirit last week. And this week we get to then talk about Trinity, which I don't know about you, but I get a good laugh out of this every year because my Facebook feed is primarily full of church wonks who are chagrined, to say the least, about the fact that this Sunday fell within the program year and they are thus not away on vacation yet. And they are forced to preach on this. And so I am at least on my third iteration of a homily. I had great plans to share all of my Greek with you and use some really fantastic words that would just baffle you and keep you hidden in the mystery of this particular doctrine. But everybody said, in the form of a meme, do not use any Greek this year. And so I threw that homily away and the second one, and now I'm to what I have left, which I'm just going to warn you, it's not much. So behind all of the baffling in the Greek and the mystery of that and the scholastic approach to the Trinity, I just want to offer up a potential alternative that may be a gateway into this doctrine for those of you who tend not to approach God exclusively with the left side of your brain. In a program year in any church, we do a lot to learn stuff, right? It's a goal that we would become more knowledgeable. It's important that we would become more knowledgeable about God because knowledge is a good thing. But what I think is even more important, and this is the basis of the next several minutes of what I'm about to say, what I think is even more important, if knowledge is a good thing, what I think the great thing is, not just knowledge about God, but love of that God. That knowledge is fantastic if you can cobble some things together that are coherent so you can speak it. But what I'm particularly compelled by is this belief, fundamentally, that this is a relationship, right? That this is a relationship. Not that we're just busy thinking about God from some great distance, and all we can ever do is to aspire to have a coherent thought about the nature of this God, but that we might develop the capacity to see and to hear and to smell and touch and to really experience in our whole selves the real presence of this God with whom we have a relationship. And the relationship isn't just about thinking, right? Because if you've had any relationships with loved ones, you know it's not enough just to think about it, right? Hey, I was thinking about your birthday. Hey, I was thinking about honoring you on Mother's Day. Hey, I was thinking about what a great person you are. I think there's a desire for something more. And I'm pretty sure God wants a relationship with us. And so God has gone to great lengths to be in our presence. God has gone to great lengths to reach out to us, this God that we know in a triune way as creator and redeemer and sustainer, this God who comes into our midst, again, not just so we can think about it and reflect on it, but so that we can feel it, so that it changes us like any real relationship would change us. And of course, God being crafty as God is, God gives us the raw materials to discern God's presence among us in the relationships that we already have. And it would be my great hope that we've all had that kind of relationship that manifests to us that triune nature of the God that we know and love in Jesus. I've had the good fortune, for example, to be married to a fantastic person who knew me at the beginning. This person who knew me at what I might consider my low point in life, that spot where I was just the abyss over which this wonderful spirit hovered and called life back to order. This one who knew me then, who loved me then, who had hope for me when I couldn't hope for myself, who had vision for what I might be when I didn't have that vision for myself. This one who shows up in the midst of my life, early in the midst of the chaos, and creates out of it something like order. What a gift. And that's the raw material, right, where we get to say that's how I could understand this God, the Creator, who we hear about in Genesis, and who we hear about through the Old Testament, and who shows up in the New Testament, who creates and is creating again and is always creative. The one who always holds out for us hope and aspiration, the desire that we could be something more than we are right now. That's the God, the Father, the Creator. I've known it in a real person. I've been blessed by that. I've also known the raw materials in a relationship of somebody who has experienced me in the midst of captivity, when I've been stuck, when I've been uncertain, when I've been lost, when I've been hungry and broken. And this particular person who's had the power to call me out of that tomb, the one who's been able to heal and to feed and to nurture. I've experienced that in the life of a real person. Yet again, another level of raw materials to understand the story we've got of this God who in the Son comes to be in the midst of us in our brokenness and our hurt, to call us forth from the tombs, the one who gives us life out of death, the one who remembers the great aspirations of the Father for us, that we would be this and not this, and who's part of making sure that that is the case for us. Perhaps you've had a relationship like that. And I know the experience of a loved one who has been with me through it all and who has committed not only to be present with me always, but to sustain me in the midst of whatever might come my way. That raw material from which we understand the abiding presence of God, the Holy Spirit, who can't commit to fix everything and to make every hurt go away, but who can commit to be with us in the midst of it to assure us that we're not alone. I've been blessed with that relationship. Perhaps you've had a relationship like that, someone who has manifested to you the nature of that triune God who promises to be with us always. So this doctrine of the Trinity, then, isn't simply a statement about a distant God who we hope to know someday, but it is in fact a love letter. It is a love letter to that God who has been with us. It is our response in triune language, the one who created us and hopes for us, the one who was with us and called us back to life from death, the one who sustained us in the midst of all of it. It is our love language back to that God to say, we have seen you. We've experienced you. We know what your love is like. And we thank you. And the best we can ever do is to hope to live up to your great hopes for us. The doctrine of the Trinity, for me, at least, is that. It is not our way of just thinking about God. It is our way of expressing the many ways that God has been present to us in our life to date. And it is the framework by which we understand the presence of that God in our lives moving forward. Every day. It is the framework by which we can discern the presence of that God in the world around us, and not just discern it, but thereby commit to participate in it. That if we're created in the image and likeness of this God who has done these things for us, we, created in that image, are destined to do those things for one another, for the world around us. We are the people destined in the image and likeness of that God to hold out great hope and promise for the world around us. We're the ones who are here to say, remember, you were created for this. Remember, you're destined for this. We are the ones who, in the midst of death and decay and brokenness, we're the ones who are calling people back to life in the image and likeness of that God who does so in Jesus. We are the ones who do the healing and the feeding and the nurturing. We are the ones who shed light into the world. We are the ones who liberate the captives. We are the ones who visit the sick. Not just because it's the good thing to do, it's because that's who we are. That is why we're here. In the image and likeness of that triune God who loves us so much that God has done it for us and simply wills that we go and do it for everyone else. We are the ones in the image and likeness of God who commit to be with the world always. In the midst of its chaos and confusion, in the midst of its division and brokenness, in the midst of a world that seems to be splitting at the seams, we are the ones called to hold the whole thing together, to promise to be present to it in its fullness always. Always calling it back to the fullness of life for which it is destined. That Holy Spirit that doesn't give up, that is us. That's why we're here. That is how we've been wonderfully created to share in the life of this Holy Trinity. Not just to think about it, but to manifest it with everything we have, with our whole lives, to give back to God and to share with the world our faith in this one we know to create, to redeem, and to sustain. That is us. And it's wonderful. And it is not simply to be thought about. It is not simply a left brain doctrine. It is our love letter back to God, having said, thank you for loving us. We will now go forth and love likewise. We will bear hope into the world. We will, in fact, bear compassion. And we will always commit to deep and abiding companionship, especially with those who are least and lost and left out. This is the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This is our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sanctifier. We pray, God, that our love for you, for each other, and for your world might be strengthened not only today, but every day. Amen.